This is your news and information station.
Tattooing has been illegal in New York City since 1966. Hepatitis infections caused by tattooing led to the Health Code Act passed against it, but a tattoo artist is challenging the ban. I'm Joanne Jackson. With a battery-operated tattoo machine that jabs 3,000 needles per minute into the skin, spider web recently gave a woman called the Shadow a bird to wear on her back. New York City police gave Webb a summons to wear to court. Webb, whose real name is Joseph O'Sullivan, said he did his thing in front of the city's Museum of Modern Art to receive a summons so that he could go to court and challenge the health code. Webb says tattooing is perfectly safe and that the real reason it was made illegal was that people associate tattoos with undesirable types. He says they figured that by getting rid of tattoos, they would get rid of the undesirables. While a crowd of about 100 people looked on, he tattooed on the woman's left shoulder and back a 10-inch long black and yellow bird. It took 1.5 hours to engrave. She says she has red and green tattooed flowers on her feet, a tattooed catfish on her lower back, and another bird on her other shoulder. Webb says his tattoos cover his entire body. Webb says his very first tattoo was done on his left arm when he was 15 years old. It was a heart with mom printed on it. Several years later, he had a ship tattooed on his chest. When he was in the Navy, he had an eagle tattooed above the ship. And he says the tattooed dragons crawl up his arms and tattooed flowers grow on his legs. Webb, who is 35, says he began tattooing 20 years ago at Coney Island. He got his first tattoo and decided he wanted to become a tattoo artist, so he asked the man if he could be an apprentice and thus began his career. Webb had a shop in New York City until the ban in 1966, when he moved it to Mount Vernon, New York, just outside the city limits. Today, Webb says that more than 50% of his clients are women. He says they tend to pick brightly colored butterflies, flowers, and birds, while dragons and the lions are still the favorite tattoos among men. This is Joanne Jackson.
For the dedicated bicentennial traveler who wants to experience the nation's past, there's no place like Williamsburg, Virginia. Some tips on what to see from Gordon Graham.
It was in the old colonial capital of Williamsburg, Virginia, where Patrick Henry stood and declared that Americans should not have to pay taxes imposed without their consent. The building stands today, and the restoration is authentic. The Capitol has been reconstructed on its original site as part of an almost magically recreated colonial city, complete in its architectural and historical purity. The palace has also been rebuilt. It was the home of royal governors, and where Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson lived as the first elected governors of the new state of Virginia. Williamsburg visitors will also want to see the old magazine where powder and muskets were stored. There is the public jail where 13 of Blackbeard's pirates were hanged. In the shops, you can see costumed craftsmen making barrels, boots, flintlocks, and candles. Militia drill on the market square, and young fifers and drummers parade and play revolutionary tunes. For the bicentennial traveler, Williamsburg is one of the few places where accommodations are plentiful and dinner in a 200-year-old tavern is a special joy. This is Gordon Graham.
Well, Monday should be the day the House decides whether to approve a postcard voter registration bill, legislation being promoted by Democratic presidential nominee Jimmy Carter. A few weeks ago, the Georgian phoned House Speaker Carl Albert to ask the measure be expedited. The bill would institute the mass mailing of postcard registration forms to eligible voters in time for the November election. Many Republicans oppose the bill on grounds it could lead to fraud. They predict a possible presidential veto. The Senate's first order of business Monday, at an early starting hour of 8:30, is the $104 billion defense appropriations bill. This is your news and information station.
This is 97 News FM, live news 24 hours a day. And since it's NBC News, we do it better.
Thousands of people are fleeing the Outer Banks of North Carolina as Hurricane Bella moves in that direction. Hurricane Bella now seems to be increasing in strength and is expected to hit the eastern coastline beginning at North Carolina. And on the line now, I have Harry Page, who is in Washington, North Carolina. Harry, what about those tourists trying to get off the Outer Banks?
Well, a hurricane warning's in effect for the Outer Banks. That's a long, thin strip of island separating mainland North Carolina from the Atlantic Ocean. Thousands of citizens and tourists now are trying to make their way from danger. All the campgrounds there have been closed, and there's only one ferry left open. That's one out of six. Reports indicate long lines of cars jammed with people are trying to get on the ferry, and motels are urging tourists to leave, but some tourists say they're just going to stay and stick it out. All of the roads out of the area are totally packed with cars, and evacuation shelters have been set up by civil defense authorities.
Harry, how far away do you think the hurricane is at the moment from Washington?
Right now, the hurricane is just about 220 miles away. The last pictures, satellite pictures, and data we have shows that that Belle began a very slight northeast turn. It was heading totally north, right for Cape Hatteras, but the turn is just very, very slight. We'll know more in a few hours.
I see. Well, I guess the authorities have prepared for the worst, I hope, right?
Right. Right now, they're setting up evacuation shelters, civil defense authorities, and unless the state of North Carolina declares the hurricane a disaster or a possible disaster, the counties here still control the evacuation, and of course, the state could probably do a much better job.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Harry Page, and of course, we'll be checking back with you later on into the night. That was Harry Page in Washington, North Carolina, reporting on the progress of Hurricane Belle. Now let's turn to sports, and Nat Ash will take a look at a football great, O.J. Simpson, and his future.
Some weeks ago, I conjectured that it was unlikely that O.J. Simpson, that nonpareil football player who toiled in the vineyards of the Buffalo Bills low these many years, would play his last season for any team but the Buffalo Bills. Now, after weeks of discussions between West Coast owners and the owner of the Buffalo Bills, O.J., the Juice, apparently finds himself at an impasse. And I'm convinced of O.J.'s integrity in this matter. He will indeed retire as promised if a trade to a West Coast team isn't worked out. In all of this, we have had no word of the role being played in this war of nerves of the commissioner, Pete Rozelle. It's time to step forward, commissioner, and settle this matter. Arrange a trade so that O.J. can play somewhere. Football has become almost dull with him. Can you imagine what it would be like without him? I'm Nat Ash.
More in a moment.
Riding on a bus, less pollution, much less fuss. Then for real kicks, try a train. Travel with a sense of gain. As an outgrowth of such care, we might come back to breathing air. It's not impossible, no dream. It's science with a living theme. You do your share and prove you care, and once again we breathe pure air.
Won't you join with your lung association to fight air pollution? Keep clean air in mind with every breath you take.
Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
The National Safety Council says that it takes preparation to be fire safe. One should know what to do at work, school, or at home if fire should strike. You probably have gone through fire drills at school. Do the same thing at work or at home. Plan your escape routes and practice them. Maintain well-charged fire extinguishers and don't stop there. Learn how to use them and which type fights what kind of fire. Take fire seriously, and then you may prevent it.
I can't understand it. Wherever we go anymore, there's air pollution. We go to the mountains, there's pollution. We drive out to the beach, there's more pollution. I can't seem to get away from it.
Well, you know what they say, Harold. Smoke follows beauty.
Yeah, you can...
Serving the metropolitan area, this is 97 News FM.
NBC Radio News, I'm Don Alexander. A mass exodus has been underway in the Outer Island recreation areas of North Carolina. The islanders and weather experts expecting a Monday morning arrival by Hurricane Belle. From Washington, North Carolina, WITN newsman Harry Page reports.
A hurricane warning is in effect for the Outer Banks, a long, thin strip of island separating mainland North Carolina from the Atlantic Ocean. Thousands of citizens and tourists are trying to make their way from danger. All campgrounds have been closed, and there is only one ferry left open.
Last reports indicate long lines of cars jammed with people trying to get on the ferry. Motels are urging tourists to leave, and all roads out of the area are totally packed. Evacuation shelters have been set up by civil defense authorities. If Bell's course does not change, it will rip through eastern North Carolina by mid-tomorrow morning. Harry Page in eastern North Carolina.
A moderately strong tremor has been recorded affecting the city of Peking, an apparent aftershock of the massive quake of 11 days ago in northern China. Thus far, there have been no details on casualties or damage. More news in a moment.
From the flight of Lucky Lindy to the landing on the moon, the NBC radio network has been a part of our lives. I'm John Chancellor. 1976 marks the 50th anniversary of NBC Radio, America's first network. On November 15, 1926, in the grand ballroom of the old Waldorf Astoria Hotel, the first network radio program in the history of broadcasting opened its microphones. Since that tentative first step, a large part of the entertainment we've enjoyed and the knowledge and awareness we have of the world around us has come into our homes through the skill and dedication of the staff of NBC Radio and, of course, NBC News. Today, more people turn to their radio for news information than to any other medium. 1926 to 1976, 50 years of service from NBC Radio, America's first network.
There's been some early skirmishing between Fort and Reagan advance party team members in Kansas City as GOP convention groups sit down to the business of platform writing. The first tussle was won by the Reagan forces when the committee voted to permit subcommittees to choose their own chairman rather than having them elected by the full committee. But platform committee chairman Robert Ray predicts unity will develop after the final document is written.
We have not traditionally had minority reports, and we're not anticipating them. Now, I don't know that if there might be a change, but I would expect none. I think that they will have an opportunity to offer amendments, to make changes, and once the party platform is put together, then I would expect the party platform to support it, even though not all will agree with every single plank.
Ray, incidentally, is a Ford delegate who admits he's been informed he's under consideration by the president as a possible running mate. Others who admitted Sunday they were on that list are Commerce Secretary Elliot Richardson and John Connolly. Richardson says he's both interested and a possible asset to the Ford ticket. Connolly claims he's not sure he'd accept the second spot. The House is expected to give speedy approval Monday to a measure threatened by presidential veto that would set up a national postcard voter registration program. You're listening to NBC News.
Switch to riding on a bus. Less pollution, much less fuss. Then for real kicks, try a train. Travel with a sense of gain. As an outgrowth of such care, we might come back to breathing air. It's not impossible, no dream. It's science with a living theme. You do your share and prove you care. And once again, we breathe pure air.
Won't you join with your lung association to fight air pollution? Keep clean air in mind with every breath you take. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
And a pleasant good morning, everyone. I'm Roy Wood, and the weather for the tri-state area. A hurricane watch is in effect for Monday and Monday night. Thundershowers tonight and Monday with heavy rain at times causing some local street flooding. Lows tonight in the 60s, the high Monday in the lower 70s, and increasing winds later Monday and Monday night with heavy rain at times causing considerable urban and street flooding, tides rising to 2 feet above normal late tonight and Monday through Monday night with a cause some flooding along low-lying coastal sections. Tuesday's outlook, windy with more rain likely, high temperatures in the lower 70s. The current temperature at Rockefeller Center is 69 degrees going down to 65. Hurricane Bell is on a course towards Long Island as it rumbles with the 110-mile-an-hour winds off the Atlantic coast near the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Forecasters say the storm, if it remains on its present course, would hit Long Island sometime late Monday. The Coast Guard, meanwhile, has suspended its search of 8 people aboard a boat reported sinking off Ambrose Light. The Coast Guard on Governor's Island says the search will be suspended until further information on the boat's present position is available. The city's 16 municipal hospitals are nearly all back to normal following a 4-day strike. The 18,000 striking employees accepting a new contract Saturday night, which provides for job security but deletes cost of living increases. Union leader Lillian Roberts says that the newly created mayoral task force to look at the city's municipal hospital system may find the funds to enable the workers to get their cost of living increases back within 6 months. State firefighters have asked Governor Kerry and legislative leaders to launch an immediate investigation of the circumstances and causes of what they say is a steady decline in the strength of fire forces across the state. The New York State Professional Firefighters Association said in a statement that the manpower shortage has reached a crisis level. In sports, the New York Mets downed the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday by a score of 7-4, while Baltimore nipped the Yankees again 8-5. The current temperature at Rockefeller Center is 69 degrees.
This is Wayne Howell with your news and information service. Another strong earthquake was felt in Peking Monday morning. Apparently an aftershock from the massive quakes that shook northeast China 11 days ago. The quake measured 5 on the open-ended Richter scale and was the strongest felt in the city since the big quakes hit July 28. Chinese authorities have made no announcements of damages or casualties. Turkey has denied charges made by Greece that a Turkish survey ship violated Greek territorial rights in the Aegean Sea. Greece protested Sunday that the ship had conducted research over a Greek-claimed area of the continental shelf. The Turkish government maintains the ship is conducting only seismic studies, although it is rigged for oil exploration. Both oil-poor countries claim oil exploration rights in the Aegean Sea. Kenya's foreign minister says he's doubtful the agreement signed Sunday between Kenya and Uganda will succeed in restoring normal relations between the East African neighbors. The minister says he will not acknowledge the accord's success until Uganda stops arresting, harassing, and killing Kenyans in Uganda. More than 1,000 supporters of the outlawed Irish Republican Army marched in Belfast Sunday as violence continued to plague Northern Ireland. Following the protest march, gangs of Catholic youths hijacked vehicles and set them afire, blocking roads and other damages. But police report the violence subsided as darkness fell. Earlier in the day, in South Armagh, a 19-year-old British soldier was killed by a terrorist explosion. Cairo newspapers say an Egyptian paid by Libya set 2 bombs which went off Sunday in a busy government building in the heart of Cairo. 15 persons, including the bomber, were injured, it is reported. This is your news and information station.
You've reached that point where excellence is a way of life. And when it comes to your choice of a fine modern restaurant, you want the finest possible food and service that money can buy. At 334 East 73rd Street, there is such excellence now for fine steaks, prime ribs, and lobsters. It revolves around the philosophy of Marty at Marty's Bum Steer. Marty's philosophy? Buy hand-selected beef. Age it 5 days longer than most steakhouses. Have a wine cellar created to complement the fine cuisine. And Marty's Bum Steer is open nightly for dinner with music in our new lounge till 2 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday. For reservations, call Robert at 879-1040. 879-1040. Marty's Bum Steer, 334 East 73rd Street. An intimate and modern restaurant with a standard of excellence.
What a boat! What a crowd! What a day for sun and fun on the water! And what have we here, whipping across the waves, but Fred and Myrtle Stump? And too many passengers. A dash of Dorkheimer's from church, a pinch of Putnam's from the Bridge Club, and 2 whole cups of Cunningham's on a weekend visit with children and their dog Bowser. That boat is overloaded. All it takes is a little stirring and whoops! Oh my! A classic upside-down boat. And a lot of boaters in the drink. Boating with friends can be lots of fun, but too much of a good thing can make for an ending that is hard to digest. The U.S. Coast Guard says overloading is a major cause of boating accidents. So be a smart cookie. Check your boat's capacity plate for safe load. Be sure your boat doesn't runneth over. And to make sure you're really okay, ask the Coast Guard Auxiliary for a free CME. That's a courtesy motorboat examination.
This is 97 News FM. Live news 24 hours a day. And since it's NBC News, we do it better.
In baseball on Sunday in the National League, it was Cincinnati over Los Angeles 3-2. San Diego defeated Houston 4-3. Atlanta and San Francisco split a couple of games. In the first game, Atlanta won 2-1. In the nightcap, it was San Francisco 4-1. New York over Pittsburgh 7-4. Philadelphia 3, St. Louis 2, and Chicago 7, Montreal 1. In the American League, Baltimore 8, the New York Yankees 5. In the first game, Detroit 2, Cleveland 1. In the nightcap, Detroit 15, Cleveland 5. Chicago 5, Kansas City 2. Kansas City took the nightcap 7 to Chicago's 1. Oakland took 2 from California. The first game, the score was 9-3. In the nightcap, it was 13-8. Milwaukee 4 and Texas 5. Texas defeated Milwaukee by one run. And Texas 5, Minnesota 4. The Milwaukee-Boston game was postponed due to rain. Well, O.J. Simpson is no longer optimistic that a trade will be worked out with the Los Angeles Rams. Simpson said as far as he's concerned now, he is retired. Simpson said at one point he thought the deal would be made, but right now he said no one's talking. Rams owner Carol Rosenblum also said he thought the issue was dead. However, Simpson said he's working out at home and he could be ready if the Buffalo Bills decide to trade him. In basketball, the former president of the defunct Kentucky Colonels of the American Basketball Association has bought 50% of the NBA Buffalo Braves. John Y. Brown says he and his wife Nellie, who owns the Colonels, or rather owned the Colonels, will share ownership with Paul Snyder, whose financial portfolio had included 100% of the Braves stock. Snyder said he'll remain as president. Brown will act as board chairman. The time now is 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Well, I guess it would be interesting to know just how many people get home from work and take off their shoes before they do anything else. If ill-fitting shoes are your problem, hear this report from Ann Taylor.
Have you ever heard it said, if your feet hurt, you hurt all over? Perhaps not, but aching feet can make a nice day a bit unpleasant and mar a visit to a new place or even a day of shopping. How should a shoe fit? Richard Solar, a shoe company executive, says people have different ideas, but he stresses one point.
The comfort in the shoe, as long as it fits you the way you feel it should fit, your toes aren't bound, your foot feels like it's encased right, and it's comfortable on your foot, that's the way it should fit, the comfort factor.
Solar, who is a vice president and general manager of the Verde Shoe Company, also says it's best not to buy shoes after a lot of walking. This is Ann Taylor.
The Office of Civil Rights in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare is being criticized by the American Jewish Congress. The issue is discrimination. Rosemary Frasino has details.
The Jewish Congress has called foul on HEW's use of a form that requires teachers and principals to identify themselves and their students by race and ethnic origin. The forms in question were distributed earlier this year by the Office of Civil Rights as part of a long-range study initiated 3 years ago to determine whether equal services were being offered to women and minorities. The forms were put out in 5 cities, including New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Detroit. The Jewish Congress says that there's an inherent danger in records identifying individuals by race or ethnicity, since such classifications can become the basis for future discrimination. Jack Elkin, the chairman of the Jewish Congress Metropolitan Council, says that the forms violate rights to privacy recognized by the courts as early as 1905. This is Rosemary Frasino.
And this is your news and information station.
That was great.
And now what do we do?
Let's turn on the radio.
What do we listen to?
Oh, how about some nice, soft FM music?
How about some FM news?
FM news? What's so great about FM news?
Well, it's clear. You can understand everything. You know, I've been the hit of the office ever since I've been listening to that 97 News FM. I know everything that's going on in the world. It's like being in the center of the action.
Yeah, and speaking of action.
Okay, your serve.
Know what you're talking about. Listen to 97 News FM.
This is Wayne Howell with your news and information service. Another strong earthquake has shaken the city of Peking. Jack Russell has details.
The Japanese news agency Kyoto says the Chinese capital was jolted by a strong earthquake early Monday morning, Asia time. The report from Peking says the intensity of the quake was 5 on the Richter scale. It was believed to be an aftershock of the July 28th earthquake, which caused great loss of life and damage in northeastern China. The Japanese news agency did not report on damage or casualties in the latest Peking tremor. Chinese officials have not as yet issued an announcement on the quake. Kyoto news agency also says that patients were evacuated from a hospital where foreigners are treated to tents over the past weekend. Jack Russell, NBC News, Tokyo.
Hurricane Belle, packing winds of 110 miles per hour, aimed its fury at the northeastern coast of the United States. Noel Riznichok of the National Hurricane Center gave this updated report on the hurricane's progress.
Hurricane warnings are in effect on the Outer Banks of North Carolina from Kitty Hawk to Cape Lookout, including Pamlico and Albemarle Sound. A hurricane watch is in effect north of Kitty Hawk to Merrimack River, Massachusetts, and on the North Carolina coast south of Cape Lookout. Hurricane Belle continues to move towards the north with a forward speed of 20 miles per hour.
It is expected the hurricane will move at about the same speed for the rest of the night, but there is the possibility the speed may pick up. Scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena say Viking 1's troublesome scooping arm is again in working order. The arm had jammed last Tuesday as it was gathering a sample of Martian soil. Mission Director Tom Young says that late next week, the arm will dig deeper than it ever has before in the red rocky surface of Mars. The Republican platform chairman, Iowa Governor Robert Ray, says President Ford and Ronald Reagan have agreed to accept planks on foreign policy and economics. Ray says he expects that once all the debate is over, his panel will produce a document that all committee members can agree upon.
We have not traditionally had minority reports, and we're not anticipating them. Now, I don't know that if there might be a change, but I would expect none. I think that they will have an opportunity to offer amendments, to make changes, and once the party platform is put together, then I would expect the party platform to support it, even though not all will agree with every single plank.
Ray, a Ford supporter, was elected unanimously committee chairman. His comments came at a news conference Sunday night. Quick House approval of a postcard voter registration bill is expected Monday, despite Republican protests that it is an election year dirty trick. The measure has been requested by Democratic presidential nominee Jimmy Carter. The bill heads a two-day House schedule this week. Members plan to recess Tuesday night for the Republican National Convention, which opens August 16th in Kansas City. The Senate has only completion of a $104 billion defense appropriations bill on its schedule, and it plans to recess Wednesday for the GOP convention. South African officials say four persons were wounded when police fired into a crowd of blacks, creating a disturbance during the night in Port Elizabeth. It's the most serious flare-up of violence outside of the Johannesburg area since the current trouble began. A freight train slammed into a Sunday school bus in Nebraska, killing a minister, his wife, and seven young children. Eight other people in the bus, all children, were injured when the train hit the bus broadside at a railroad crossing. Conductor Paul Carlson, riding at the back of the 68-car train, said he couldn't feel the impact and didn't know what was wrong until the train went into emergency braking.
The engineer just said we just hit a school bus, and so we stopped. There's 30-some cars from the head end to where we cut the crossing. And when I walked up over there, there was still bodies all over. Of course, everything was a mess. It's very bad.
Carlson said the warning signal at the crossing was working at the time of the accident. A reputed mobster has been found dead in Biscayne Bay, Florida. Rick Ehrenstein has details.
The body of underworld figure John Roselli, missing over a week, was found in the intercoastal waterway in North Miami. Homicide detective Julio Ojeda tells us about the discovery by three fishermen.
He was found in a 55-gallon drum, and his body was completely decomposed. Determination that it was Mr. Roselli was through fingerprints and dental identification.
Roselli told the Senate Intelligence Committee last year that the CIA recruited him in the early 1960s to assassinate Cuban Premier Fidel Castro. He had been tied in those plans to Sam Giancana, who who was shot to death in his Chicago home last year. This is Rick Ehrenstein in Miami.
A London newspaper says Ugandan soldiers, led at times by the son of President Idi Amin, massacred more than 100 students last week at a university near Kampala. Quoting a student witness, the paper says 700 students were arrested, more than 1,000 injured by soldiers over a period of several days. Diplomatic sources in Uganda say the numbers are exaggerated. Wisconsin Congressman Les Aspin says Army generals are getting free sherry with lunch in their private Pentagon dining room. Aspin admits tastes have gotten fancier, but he asks, why is the taxpayer footing the bill for this noontime nip? The Army contends the sherry isn't free at all, that the diners are given a choice of either juice or sherry, which is included in the price of the lunch. So if they want to drink sherry, it's their business, according to the Army. This is your news and information.